It is September 6, 2026, and you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. I thank you for joining me wherever you are on this fine Sunday. That could be on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, which includes their website, iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, AM stations, FM stations, you know where to get the show, YouTube. And as always, a special shout out to those listening in the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. A little bit of a different show today. I had a full lineup, of course, with all the news and such from the past few days. Collision, of course, happened last night, a preview of tonight's Sunday night's main event. All type of stuff happening in wrestling this week and so on. But it's a different feel today because this show is going to be a tribute. Had a few people pass away in the wrestling business this weekend. One I had spoken with before, and that being the Butcher, Andy Williams, who passed away tragically on either Saturday into Sunday after collapsing in a ring wrestling in the Indies, and passed away. The news broke on Sunday morning. And Andy was on my podcast years ago, several years ago. Didn't do a ton of interviews. And so I asked AEW, said I'd love to have him on. And we talked for almost about an hour about all kinds of things. So this episode, what I went through is I went through and clipped specific audio, funny audio, great stories, and so on. And I think that's what the show is going to be about today. A tribute to Andy the Butcher Williams. If you've never heard him speak before, this will be for you. If you want to remember him, this will be for you. And if you're hurting today like I am, hopefully this will be therapeutic for you as well. When we come back, we'll kick off with some different segments of the life and times of Andy the Butcher Williams. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, back after this. Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason is back with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Tough weekend for a lot of us. Of course, Bill Dundee passing away. We learned that news Sunday morning. Jerry Oates, a wrestler I was not familiar with, but Jim Valley from our website was in the Portland wrestling scene. And then some hit a little closer to home. Andy Williams passing away. The Butcher passing away. We learned that news on Sunday. Of course, after an indie match on Saturday night, collapsed in the ring. From what the reports go, you mentioned somebody whose longtime partner, the Blade, Pepper Parks, and he said something to him, and he was tended to. And again, don't really kind of know the full story. Don't want to speculate on anything or get something wrong. But the end result is the end result, and it's a hit, man. It really is. And so it didn't feel right to do a full, traditional show today. And so I was thinking a lot about this last night when I heard this news. I'm like, because it didn't sound good. I'm like, if something does happen, I want to talk about Andy, but talk about him through his words. So I went through our interview from, I think it was 2023, and we talk about a lot of things. So I cut up some of this interview, and I'm going to share some clips here. And we'll do this for the duration of the show. I think if you don't know Andy, I was going through this. I didn't remember a lot of stuff we talked about. I just knew it was a good interview. I don't really go back and listen to my old stuff. So in this first segment, he and I talk about a little bit about music, but he also how AEW never really brought up the fact that he was a musician, how he got his name and how it ties into White Men Can't Jump, and talking music with Chris Jericho and how he felt okay with being quote unquote just a wrestler in AEW. So you and I were talking before about the first time I saw you. So the first time I saw you in person was a wrestling show, of course, March 2019, Westbrook, Maine, for Limitless Wrestling against the Dastardly J. Freddy and Puff. And I saw you walking around afterwards. One thing that's fascinated me about you, you're walking around, I kind of just watch, and you strike an imposing presence, but you didn't appear standoffish or unapproachable. And you see people in life, you work in the music industry, wrestling industry, you see people that you can tell, you can kind of get a sense of them, kind of what they are, who they are, maybe they may have a bad night or whatever, but You just appeared very approachable despite being this larger-than-life figure. Very affable guy. And it's a case to me where you're a book that it doesn't match the cover, and especially what you portray in The Ring, which is a very menacing figure, intense, and so on. That fascinates me about you.
Yeah, I think it's coming from music, too. Like, we never really had the option. I mean, I always went into the crowd and watched like bands play and stuff like that, right? But like when you get on stage, like, you know, there's shows that people probably see me where I'm smiling ear to ear the entire time. There's other shows where I'm scouring the crowd, and I'm like this intense, like you say, like a lot of people say, like, oh man, you look way bigger than you actually are. And then when you actually talk to me, like, I think the presence comes down and you go, oh man, that guy's like a normal, real guy. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into wrestling, it was like, oh, okay, I just have to turn it on and then turn it off. And like, Andy's the guy that's like hanging out with dudes. The Butcher's the guy in the ring. And I can say like, hello work and goodbye work, and not carry that attitude like out. And I know that like kind of like crushes kayfabe and that stuff. But, I don't know, get on my bad side and you'll find out that that person can also be adjacent to, you know, the other one.
Yeah. Does that allow as an artist, both musical and also in wrestling, does that kind of scratch an itch to have that character be able to come out in a different, I guess, setting and to have, be able to have that kind of a, I would say split personality, but be able to portray that character and but then also kind of be who you are?
For sure. And I mean, it's performance either way. And like one is just with a guitar and a little more methodical in a different way, where like wrestling is with my body, but the same mechanisms that I use for writing music, I use for wrestling. And like, it's the same formulas and the same, like, it just made sense to me really quick. Like once I started training and I started like learning more, that was like one thing. And then once you're in front of a live crowd, it's the same thing. Like it's guitar playing with a band and wrestling. Like you have to get the crowd to come up and you need to get the crowd to come down and you need to like, it's the same ebb and flow. It really is. You know, it comes from the same artistic, you know, place.
Yeah. I've always wondered about that because obviously, you know, Chris Jericho, who wrestles for AEW and has his own band, everything. I think he's talked about this as well. I'm always fascinated by the people that cross over into these different mediums and have both and how they help each other. And just kind of, yeah. And that I think you articulated that pretty well. Have you ever talked with Jericho about music and
all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time. All the time. Cool. I have a little side note. I've been wrestling now for 10 years.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in 10 years anyone has actually actively used and talked about my music.
Really?
Yeah. Like people ask like, oh, so you're in a band. And then I talk and then they bring up like wrestling. And it's like no one has ever actually used my musical talent in wrestling.
Oh, really?
Like no one's ever talked. Yeah. Like really talked about it. So this is pretty cool.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Because I knew a little bit about your background before. And then when you first debuted in AEW, I'm like, oh yeah, I know who that is. I know the Butcher and the Blade are coming out from under the ring and everything. One thing I was going to ask you about is because you eventually went by just the Butcher instead of the Butcher Andy Williams. And I was kind of curious about what the decision was to drop the real name from, I guess your character, so to speak.
So like the whole, do you know the movie White Men Can't Jump?
Of course.
Okay. So like at the end of the movie, they go against, and then this is going to kill me. I never can remember. It's like the Doc and Goose or something like that. Like the whole movie is like culminating to this one match with these legendary dudes.
Yep.
And they're called the and the.
Yep.
And like the entire time they talk about these dudes in like this very historically awesome street ball way, right? Mm-hmm. And when we started the tag team, that was the concept of like, yeah, we have names, but like we also just go by like these other dudes. And like on the indies, it was a little easier to lean into the character. Where, like, then in AEW, like, I think because of when and how we came in, it was so character heavy. And then the pandemic hit, and then we were like, we were stuck in Buffalo for 3 months. So, like, in that 3 months time, it was like, well, how are we going to get back there and then make this, like, presence known? And I think that's when we decided to do more of, like, the human aspect instead of the character. So at that point in time, it was just kind of like, okay, I was going by, like, the Butcher of Buffalo, Andy Williams. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And I think that, like, AEW just wanted, like, the Butcher part. And it was like, okay, we understand. We're going to say you're from Buffalo. We don't need to tell them you're from Buffalo again. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And plus, it's probably easier to just call me Butcher instead of the Butcher Andy Williams. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I bring that up because, you know, we're talking about the connection about music and wrestling is they really haven't leaned into the fact that you are a musician. I mean, I think Taz has mentioned it. Kind of like if you really listen on commentary, it really hasn't been brought up as part of your who you are. And I assume it must be a conscious choice or whatever, but I always thought that was kind of interesting, again, knowing your background and everything.
Of course. You'd think that like a guy with like a huge background, you would want to like talk about that, but it just is never talked about.
Huh.
And that's okay. That's. And like, it's kind of like, I've realized that like with AEW, I'm just a wrestler. It's not... You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. I'm a wrestler. So, like, if they want to talk about my music, cool. If they don't want to talk about music, also cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's a wrestling company. It's not a music company. So, like, I understand it.
More with the late, great Andy the Butcher Williams. Coming up next, Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Nason back. The tribute edition to Andy the Butcher Williams tragically passing away. But just, a great guy, tributes pouring out on social media overnight and into the morning. And this next clip from our 2023 interview, which you can check out in full at WrestlingObserver.com for free, Andy and I talked about his AEW debut, and I'm laughing a little bit, because in this story, he talks about how nervous he was, and how, there's a funny story here about Billy Gunn as well, and it's interesting, because you see how polished these guys appear when they appear on TV. And then you hear behind the scenes, they're really scared bleepless. You know what I mean? I censored that out for the radio, but it's a great story, extended one. And yeah, enjoy. November 2019 Dynamite, you make your way up from under the ring. You end Pepper Parks and you attack Cody Rhodes. JR, of course, is like, who are these guys? Who are these guys? Of course, I'm like, I know those guys. How did that come about? How'd that first deal come about in that moment? And tell me about kind of the feelings just as about you're ready to kind of go through the curtain, so to speak, the curtain being underneath the canvas.
Yeah, it was like, that was the first time I ever thought about wrestling in front of a TV. Like I never, or in front of a camera, like I always wanted to do it from like a punk rock aspect. Like I like the VFW hall feel, like those are my people. You know what I mean? Like it's like a beer drinking, like hoot and hollering crowd. That's what I wanted to do when I became a pro wrestler. Like I didn't have aspirations to like wrestle on TV. And when I was doing single stuff, I just held on to that. And like, Pepper Parks, Jesse, at one point in time told me, he was like, if you want people to start treating you like a wrestler, you have to start being a wrestler. So like, I had to like stop wearing the pants that I was wearing. I was dressing exactly how I dressed on stage, and I would wrestle like that. So like the people that love E-Tid came to see me, I would be dressed exactly the same way they would see me on stage with a guitar. I would be beating up a guy in the ring. But the problem is that like when you do that, then you get kind of pigeonholed and you get thrown in the same kind of spot where it's like, oh, this is an outsider coming into wrestling. So like, let's treat him like an outsider. And then once I became a wrestler and started looking like a wrestler, then like the booking, and then me and Jesse started tagging. And when me and Jesse started tagging, he started like going like, oh man, we kind of have a chance to do some cool shit here. Like we're clicking really well. We have a character thing happening. Like it just all made sense. And then he kind of like talked me into it. We actually got off. It's so funny because we just had our first ROH match.
Yeah.
This is so crazy. I didn't think about this until right now, but it was a 6-man match. So we had gotten offered from ROH to come in and win the trios belt with Tyler Bateman. And that was like 2 weeks before we got the AEW offer. And it was supposed to be like us three versus Brody King, Marty Scurll, and I can't think of his name. The dude Frankenstein guy.
Oh, PCO?
There you go, PCO. And yeah. We were supposed to come in, beat those guys, win the 6-man title. Like ROH had sent us like contract offers, but then the shows that they offered us had gotten canceled. And I was like, this is bad, man. Like this is, and I remember telling Jess, I was like, this is an omen, man. Like we got to run from this. Like this is a bad sign. And we did, we stuck to our guns, didn't sign anything. And like, I remember being at the gym. I remember Hana being on a Stairmaster and getting a call from Cody asking if we wanted to come in and do AEW. And it blew my mind. So like when I remember getting there, I remember Billy Gunn being like the producer, like, you know, he was our agent for that match. And I was terrified, dude, like terrified. And then they take us, you know, in the dark, put us under the ring and stuff like that. So casual. Like I was in my, in my gear, ran down, got under the ring. Luckily, Cody had that like big extravagant entrance where the lights had to go out and there's fireworks and everything like that. Matt Nix, freelance wrestling promoter, is in the ring. He's got a singles match with Cody, like a squash. And I'm under the ring and like terrified. Like, what if this thing doesn't open? What if this, and you're like going through all this stuff. And then it's like, once I'm out there, like, what do I do? And we went over it. You know what I mean? Like, you're just, it's so crazy, dude. It was such a wild ride. And then it was over. And I remember Billy, like, walking up to Billy. And, like, at this, now I know Billy's, like, mannerisms. But at the time, I had no idea. It's Billy Gunn. And it looks angry. And he, like, walks up to me. And he was like, great job, man. Great job. Great job. And he's like talking to me super calm. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm waiting. I'm like, he's going to yell at me. I did something wrong. Like I had to have done something wrong. And he was like, at the time we were doing like a suplex into like a backbreaker from Jesse called Full Death. Like it was our finish. And he was like, when you get there, snap, just snap it. You got to put a little more snap into it. And I was like, okay. And then like work week is over. Like our work week is over. Like I talked to Billy Gunn, blah, blah, blah. People are saying, oh, great job, blah, blah, blah. Then, like, things are happening online. Who the hell are these guys? Blah, blah, blah. And then Cody literally put us in a position where, like, we were in a main angle for, like, a month, month and a half. And, like, I had to learn how to wrestle on TV, like, that week. Like, it was crazy.
That's wild. That's wild. Did you have a...
That was a really, sorry, really long story. Sorry.
No, that's great. No, that's awesome. Do you have a deal at that point, or did you sign, like, a contract later on? Or no? Okay.
We didn't have a deal until we wrestled Bash at the Beach, which was like months later.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We were just by appearance, and it was cool. Like that was DDP's like last match ever, and I remember like us being done, and me and Jesse were like, "All right, well, we got nothing booked now. Like, I guess we got to start like calling promoters and start like getting the tag team back on the indies and see what happens and all that stuff." And like they waited that night. I remember all of us being out at a bar, like the show had ended, we all went and hung out and ate, and like everything, I mean, dude, hours are going by that we were there. And I remember I had to fly to Denmark. I had missed a show in France, Paris, France, that night, and then had to fly to Denmark from Miami to start a tour.
Yes.
But the band had already started the tour. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I missed one show and I'm like, man, I got no contract. Like I got to wrestle DDP's last match. That's really cool. And then like around 2:30 in the morning, Nick Jackson and Cody like pulled us aside and we're like, so we're going to offer you guys full contract. It's this, like, we're going to send everything in the mail. And then I had my contract. And it was like, it was crazy, man. It was so crazy. And then I didn't have time to like celebrate. And I went, this is a really funny story that I tell all the time in the locker room. Like, I went back to my room and I didn't fly until the next day. And in Buffalo, you can't get the spicy chicken sandwich from McDonald's. Okay. So like me, Kevin Bennett, Blackwood, Puff, Jesse, and Danny Garcia all like worship the spicy chicken. So like anytime we would be in a town that had a spicy chicken, we would get the spicy chicken.
Yeah.
So I noticed that this town had spicy chickens, and I was a little bit big for my britches. I were to celebrate that I got a contract. I ordered 6 of them from like Grubhub or something like that. Ate 2 of them and passed out, like fell asleep, and then woke up puking them up. Like, so I was like dead asleep, and I immediately breathed in and it went in my nose. So I had spicy chicken like in my like nasal cavity, and it was like burning my face, and then I had to fall back to sleep with like a burning face. It was cool. My
God, life as yeah. rock star wrestler, huh? Glamorous.
Yeah, it was very glamorous.
And then there was this story about Eddie Kingston tormenting Andy with the music of Korn.
People will ask me questions about music, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they'll put a song on and like try to break a song down for me. And like, there's dudes like Eddie Kingston, like, I can't stand the band Korn. It just is not, it just hits my ears and does nothing.
Yeah.
And Eddie will purposely put on Korn and be like, watch, watch, watch. And he'll see my face, like, I'll start squirming. And like, he'll start asking me questions like, what is it? Why is it that this song doesn't do anything for me? And then I'll try to break it down. Like, this is just, it's just noise to me. It's not, there's not, they're not doing anything that like can stick. And like, then I'll put on a song by like Radiohead or something that like I'm into, and I'll play it and be like, hey, like, this makes sense. Now I'm at the point where it's like, if my friends are happy and they're listening to Korn, I'm just happy my friends are happy, and yeah. I just listen to Korn, and I don't talk about it, and I just stay put. But he used to always, he would poke the bear by putting Korn on if we were like all hanging out.
More with Andy Williams and his stories on Brian Danielson and Sting. Wrestling Observer Live, come right back. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, back with you. My name is Josh Nason. Hopefully you're doing well. Very sad weekend, of course, in the world of pro wrestling. Our tribute to Andy the Butcher Williams continues. And in this segment, this is kind of funny, and I hope the show A's clips, if you're hurting today, I hope they brought some laughs, because he was a funny guy, man. So this is a great story. A few of them here. This is one where he talks about getting emotional about the wrestling career of Brian Danielson. And then he also talks about Sting and being in the ring with Sting, and he's been in the ring with a lot of legends. And so we chat about that and what he told Sting backstage that he felt was a little bit different than what a lot of other people told him. So let's get to the words of Andy Williams right now. So if I told you back that November 2019 date, if I told you after you had your conversation with an angry Billy Gunn, if that over the next 3 years, you have worked against the Young Bucks, Sting, Kenny Omega, Brian Danielson, and Tomohiro Ishii, among dozens of others, what would you have said?
Oh, that never, ever, ever, ever came to my, I never would have thought in a million years. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Like, I never thought I would even meet those guys. Like, ever. You know what I mean? Like, man, I don't want to tell this story, but I'm going to tell this story anyways. We were on vacation in Hawaii, and I think that day I think I ate an edible or something like that. And me and Hannah are sitting there, and we're sitting with her dad and her dad's girlfriend. And they were like, hey, what do you, with wrestling, like, what is it that you love about wrestling? And I went on this huge diatribe about Brian Danielson and how like important he is to wrestling and how he's the greatest wrestler of all time. Like, and like how perfect he is. And like, and it's crazy because like this past week, he had a promo that I think was like one of the greatest things he's done in his career.
The Okada
when he
promo?
Did that, cut that. Oh, it, dude, it is. If Bryan Danielson could cut a flawless promo, it was it. Like, he told everyone what he was going to do, how he was. Dude, he's perfect. If you told me at this conversation in Hawaii, where I was tearing up talking about it, I was crying talking about Bryan Danielson and how just important he is to pro wrestling, that I would be in a locker room, be able to call him a friend at this point in time, and then have the opportunity for him to be in a ring with me, is, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And especially, like, you can talk about young Andy from like 32-year-old Andy, who was like a complete mess. I had given up, just figured I was just going to be a chubby guitar player, and that's just what I was going to do. I'm the guy with a beard. That's it. And then I had given up. And like, now I'm in a wrestling ring with Bryan Danielson. I wrestled Kenny like and Takeshita like a month ago, three weeks ago.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite matches I've ever had. It's insane, dude. Ishii, dude. Being in the ring with Ishii, like, it doesn't feel real. Mocking Sting and then going for a Stinger splash on him and then him Stinger splashing you it felt like a cartoon, dude. Like, when I seriously was in that corner and I reached back and, like, started taunting him, when I looked across the ring, he was a cartoon. He wasn't real. It wasn't Steve Borden. Like, it was a cartoon that I had been watching my entire life, and I'm running at him full speed. Like, it's just, it's wild, man. Yeah. It's wild.
It's cool from the outside seeing Sting get in the ring with, of course, sometimes when you have veterans come back, it's only they will work against like other veterans or big stars, whatever. But he's been working against like all types of people. So it's cool getting to see him interact with people like yourself and Pepper and like all these other guys. Cause you imagine, it must be just such a thrill for them to be like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, this must be like a mind blowing experience, you know?
Yeah. I try to always, like, I think something that us as like younger wrestlers do, we always talk about them being legends or being old or like, you know what I mean? Like, everything that you say to them is a little under or backhanded compliment. And what I try to do with those guys is I try to, that before that match, I said, hey man, like, I pulled him aside and was like, you should be really proud of yourself, man. Because like, a lot of dudes in your spot would just take the safe bet, like what they could do the greatest hits. And he, at his age, 65, 64, he had a birthday that day. We wrestled on his birthday.
Oh yeah.
For him to like put all that stuff aside and try to push the boundary still is so amazing. And like, that's like, man, that guy's like a real, for me, I can look up to that guy, because hopefully when I'm that age, I'm not that guy looking for the safe bet. I hope I'm that guy that's trying to push the envelope like him. He's so cool.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Ishii match. You tore your biceps in that match. When did that happen? And when did you know? And how do you gut through something like that?
Oh, man. So I have two torn biceps. I don't have biceps on either arm. He gave me a superplex that I called. I was like, yo, let's do a superplex. And he like put me on the top, and I thought everything was right. Here's the thing. That guy, you want to talk about bigger than life. Like, that guy, we think of him as the Stone Pitbull. And like, you go into those matches as like, this is the fucking Stone Pitbull. This is fucking Tomohiro Ishii. You know what I mean? Like, you put respect on his name because of who he is. He's not the tallest guy.
Right.
So when you're taking a superplex from someone that's your size, it's easy to base on their hip to like get over. With him, I was bent over so far that I couldn't base on his hip. So I grabbed the rope to base on the rope. And then as soon as we started going, logically, you would let go of the rope.
Mm.
So, but when you're taking a suplex, you kind of stay there for a bit. You know what I mean? Like, you stay in the base. I stayed there, and as soon as we went, I hung on, and as soon as I hung on, it popped. You can watch it. If you watch it back, you'll see it. It sucks. And I immediately know it's torn, and I think I powder out, and either Jesse or Bunny was out there, and I was like, I tore my bicep. And then I think you can see me kind of like moving my arm around, but I already went through it with the other one. So like, I was like, all right, whatever, we're good. Like, it's all right.
And in this last clip, Andy talks about the inspiration for his look when he came back from injury, how it turned into an action figure, which you thought was funny, and also his different hairstyles through the years. Enjoy this clip.
And it's like, it's kind of fun too. Like for a while, like I had tore my, the band had broken up. I tore my bicep, and like, I think Tony gave me just like some time off just to like kind of, I could have wrestled with my torn bicep, and I think he just knew that I was going to need time off when the band broke up, because it's like you do that for 23 years and it's a relationship and you're going to be hurt from it. He gave me time off. So I was like sitting at home thinking of like how I could make an impact. And the dumbest thing in the world, I was watching a ton of wrestling, and I watched a bunch of guys who had come back. And I noticed that when guys do comebacks in wrestling, they don't do anything really extravagant. They show up with either sunglasses on or a leather jacket. So when I came back shredded, wearing sunglasses and a leather jacket.
Right.
And then I started getting thrown in these matches with Darby, and I got thrown in like, you know, it just like, I came back and made an impact, but I made an impact that everyone had seen a million times. And that's wrestling. It's just like, just do what was once hot. And I did it, and then they made a toy out of it, like that look.
Yeah.
Which is like really, really funny, like to me, because it was like, oh, I just wore sunglasses and a leather jacket. It wasn't this big extravagant thing. I just came back as me just with that. But I'm back to like, it was cool. Like the last two times I wrestled, I wore the monocle and the long jacket and started bringing the like Dr. Mindbender look back. And it's been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Feels good.
I was always fascinated by that. One of the things I want to ask you about is your changes in looks in both your hair and your outfit. Cause you've gone with the full short hair, which I like. And you've gone with the long hair and different looks inspired by different things. And what does inspire that? Is it just kind of you see something in pop culture kind of resonates, you can kind of play with it a bit, or what, how do you figure when to change and what to change?
I love the, I love like latching onto like a generation. So like when I did the bald head with the mustache, it was like, hey, here's this old bare knuckle boxer that's like kind of got like a dark thing to him. And then when I grew my hair out, I like turned into like an Arn Anderson character. Like I looked like an Ole or an Arn, like, and I loved it. Like I put a little weight on, and like, you know, I had like a belly, and like my muscles were like bubbly. I don't know how to explain that. You know what I mean? Like I looked like an old LGN doll. You know what I mean? And like, so it was cool to like lean into that. I started wearing like frosty glasses and like in my promos, and like we were wearing all white. But like, if you go back and look at all the all white stuff, like it's just dad clothes. It's not like anything. I was leaning into my Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
And then when I did like the long hair, that was this kind of like the 80s. To be fair, I really wanted to be Don Fry when he wrestled in New Japan.
Yeah.
He had like long hair, he had a small waist, black trunks, just looked like an early like UFC ass beater. You know what I mean? Like that. And that now it's like the character is like back to Dr. Mindbender, but like mixed with this like weird MMA, like early MMA look, like small waist, can big upper body. It's fun to with your body. Like that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
Like, and the hair was like so fun, because I never thought I would grow my hair out ever again. I never thought I would have long hair. I'm completely bald on top, but I was like, no one else is doing that. No one leans into the baldness in wrestling, like meaning like no one grows their she hair. It's terrible. It looks terrible. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it get over. And all I did was got a perm. I don't have curls or anything like that. So I went and got a perm, and dude, I just wanted to, look like a weird, like UFC 1-5 guy. We're like, oh, this guy could beat this guy's ass. He's into like street fighting. It just says he's a street fighter or whatever like that. And that's what I wanted to do.
All right, great stories with Andy there. You can catch that interview in its entirety on WrestlingObserver.com. Absolutely free. And I may re-upload it for Spotify and Apple Podcasts now that I think about it. But it is what a great guy, man. I smiled so much during that recapping this today. Obviously wish I didn't have to, but boy, he tells a ton of other great stories. If you're into music, he used to be in the band Every Time I Die. And we talked a lot about music on that show. And one of the earlier clips when he mentioned how people had never asked him about that in interviews before. And he thought that was really cool. That made my day, made my week. And that was, just fascinating. He talks about Buffalo, some other clips I didn't include in this. And so associated with that, those guys have got to be hurting today. And my heart goes out to them and everyone that has been affected by his passing. Of course, yeah, the passing of Bill Dundee and Oates, that sad in their own way. But man, Andy was, it's my age, 48. God, that's scary. It's scary stuff. Rest in peace, Andy Williams. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a few minutes. Wrestling Observer Live, Josh Nason, back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, final segment, back with you. My name is Josh Nason. Emotional episode today. Take a breath. I need a drink, I think, something. But hope you're doing well. I hope everyone doing well if you listen to this. I appreciate it. Let's look at the week ahead. Andy would probably want it that way. Look, you'd be enough talking about me, enough sadness. Let's talk about everyone else getting in the ring this week, which includes Sunday night's main event, WWE, Wrestling Observer Radio. We'll recap that. I'm sure talk about all these various tragic passings over the weekend. Of course, we have Monday Night Raw coming up on Monday. Tuesday, NXT. Wednesday, we have Dynamite, which is the Rebel Heart edition. I'm interested to see what AEW does. And they're going to honor Andy in some way. I don't know how they do that. Perhaps maybe they, because it's ALS, obviously honoring Rebel, who is going to be there. So it's going to be an emotionally positive night. I'm curious how they thread that needle, but I'm sure they're going to figure out perhaps maybe a more extensive one. Tribute to Andy coming up on Saturday for Collision. Of course, we have TNA Impact and Ring of Honor on Thursday. And Friday, SmackDown, of course, Sunday, Collision and AAA on Fox Mexico. So we have all that and CMLL action, all that as well. I should point out, Andy and I think Pepper were free agents in, that was the story going around, but they were still on the roster page. So I don't know really what the deal is, but I'm sure the AEW will do the right thing. And the thing they're going to want to do, especially so many outpouring of tributes on social media from all corners of the wrestling bubble, as I saw wrestling landscape rather. I saw Kevin Nash just posted something just a little while ago of all people. So I'm sure AEW do the right thing. And go back and watch some matches and hug your loved ones, tell them what they mean to you and all the things that we're all supposed to do and should do when someone passes. Thank you so much for joining me this week. A more hopefully uplifting episode next week. My name is Josh Nason, and this has been Wrestling Observer Live. Rest in peace, Andy.